Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Watt Harris here, another Panther Rants podcast. Well, it is, it's Monday. Monday after a victory Saturday. Hopefully they're live. Sorry, people. I'm driving past an exit that's blocked off because there's a bad accident. And the cars, like, they're all mangled. I hope the people are all right. But I wish them well and hope they're all right. So, it's a Monday after a Panther victory. Pitt moves up to 3-3 overall, 2-1 the ACC. And they're still in the race for the ACC Coastal, which has become probably one of the most dysfunctional divisions in college football, probably. Maybe not as dysfunctional as the Big 12, whereas they don't have divisions. They just have a 10-team league. And the top two play for the championship. Which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, but that's how the Big 12 wanted to do things, because for whatever reason, they get what they want, no matter what. Really, they should have, because here's the thing. They didn't want to expand anymore or add any more teams because they don't want to share any more money, basically. So they got rid of the whole clause that you had to have at least 12 teams for a conference championship. Which, you know what, kind of helps Pitt, which really, thank God this happened after the fact, not before Pitt got in the ACC, because we would never be in any other, major conference ever. But who knows? I mean, if you think about it, the Big 12 was interested in Pitt before Pitt went to the ACC. Pitt was a, contender for it. So we probably would have ended up in the Big 12 anyway. But the ACC obviously makes a lot more sense. And, I would have loved to have West Virginia, in the conference. But, they landed somewhere. And I think at one point I remember they overplayed their hand, I remember. As, Pitt had an invite to the Big 12 and tried to take West Virginia with him at the time. And West Virginia was still trying to play for the SEC. And I guess Oliver Luck was willing and dealing. And he just never played his hand. And next thing you know, they were stuck for a bit. And it was really fun to see their fans panic a lot. Because, in the days of the message boards, they were just talking about, we got to do what's best for us, too bad for Pitt, ha-ha. And then when we got our ACC, the next thing you know, we come out of nowhere with the ACC invite. They bitched and moaned up the storm, and yeah. Anyways, guys, as far as the game goes, initially it looked bleak. Syracuse, started the game off passing all over us, getting their guys in the space, moving the ball around left to right. And it looked like it was going to be one of those days. Well, it kind of was. But Pitt, I guess, Pitt was down 7-0 early. And Pitt had a nice drive, but of course we did that little end around, that little jet sweep type thing. And, Shocky Jockey fumbled it. And Syracuse got the recovery. Next thing you know, they were up 14-0 before he knew it. But then, Pitt, obviously answered back. Quadri Olson had a hell of a run. And then, of course, you know, the strip sack from, you know, from Dane Jackson. Next thing, before you knew, we were up 14, you know, 14-14. The defense, it seemed to settle down. Pitt took a lead in the half. And then, of course, Pitt extended the lead to start the half. And then, you know, of course, the rain happened. Pitt had delay, and I think a lot of ways that delay could have kind of hurt Pitt a bit, because it gave Syracuse some time to rest up and figure things out. And Lord, if you know it, at one point Syracuse was up 34-27. And then Pitt would tie it, and of course, you know, we got to overtime, and what's it called? Pitt would score, which was awesome. And then Syracuse, I guess, I have no idea. I mean, it really wasn't a bad call, because Pitt's, you know, at the time, Pitt's defense was on its heels, because for a bit, Pitt's defense was getting stops, but Pitt's offense was sputtering to a point where they couldn't put Syracuse away. And then, you know, Syracuse is able to recover and get back in the game, and that's the problem. Is Pitt's offense right now is so one dimensional that when you can't run the ball, you're pretty much screwed. I mean, hey, I'm happy Pitt put up 44 points. Well, one part of it was because of the defense, you know, getting seven, but still, the offense, if you can put up 30 some points just running the ball, hey, that's awesome. But you're not going to be doing it every week, and you have to have some sort of competent passing game, which we don't have. And, well, that's what happens when you can't throw the ball, is, well, you can't put away your opponents sometimes. But all in all, really, this win, it's just a win. There's not much to take from it. I mean, we still have the same problems that we always had. You know, it's not going to change anything. Although I did see a little bit better play from the defense. The throw by Dungey was good. It was a good throw, actually. I mean, it's just that Pitt was able to get the, you know, was able to strip him. You know, Terran Coleman stripped the ball at the last minute. I mean that was a hell of a play by Coleman, because he didn't give up on a play. Whereas if you watch a lot of Revis's highlights from when he was at Pitt, you know, they're on YouTube. One thing I noticed about Revis is he never gave up on any plays. Even if that guy had that ball, he caught it. Even if the guy was tackled, Revis was still trying to jar that ball out. And that's what you want out of your secondary. Is you want guys like that do stuff like that. They don't give up on plays. They want to make that pass incomplete or interception as much as possible, and we saw that there. Whereas both those guys came down with it, and Pitt just happened to strip it the last minute. So it was a great play, heads up play at that. So I don't think the play call was a horrible call. I mean, Dungey went for the throat and saw something. It's just Coleman won the battle. And in Syracuse's case, if that would have been a touchdown, Pitt's obviously shocked. And next thing you know, Hughes is probably going for the two-point conversion, because Pitt's trying to recover from it, and they can't. Syracuse probably gets two and wins that game. But Pitt prevailed, thank God. Oh, well, guys. Such is life. But Pitt's obviously got a tall order next week. They got Notre Dame, and I don't even know if what's going to happen there. Of course, you know, I went on Twitter and saw people saying that, hey, you know, we should be ready for Pitt this week to play when they play Notre Dame, because the college football playoff. Well, here's the thing. We're going to probably lose the game anyway. It doesn't matter if, you know, what's at stake for our rivals. It's just Notre Dame's... I mean, I wasn't sold on Notre Dame, and they're just blowing the rocks off of people now. I mean, they, Virginia Tech, the game wasn't even close. You know, that whole, jump around, whatever crap they do. Obviously, it didn't work. Because they got the bricks beaten off of them. But, like I said, this win doesn't solve anything as far as Pitt's woes are concerned. And of course, they got playing Notre Dame, and you know, there's this whole history has it crap about how, you know, Pitt plays Notre Dame tough, and yeah, true. But in this case, Notre Dame's more rounded this time, whereas Pitt isn't. All Notre Dame has to do is blow us out, and that's it, or stop our running game for the most part. And that's, you know, we'll get into that later this week, what, you know, Pitt needs to do in order to win this game. I mean, pray for rain, I have no idea what they need to do, but you know, Taysier Mack was out for the game, and obviously I wasn't too crazy about that. But, you know, Ra-Ra Lopez had a hell of a, you know, catch and run, and but still, though, the passing game, the woes are just still there, and I don't know if we were going to work that. I mean, part of it's the play calling, part of it's a lot. Play calling, offensive line, and, of course, quarterback not being able to make reads. So, it's a lot of stuff. But anyways, guys, it's a hell of a victory. Now, as far as the rest of the weekend goes with college football, not much to really be desired. It really wasn't, you know, there wasn't matchup-wise, there wasn't anything great. I mean, you had Notre Dame with Va Tech and at night. That game sucked. You had the Red River Shootout between Oklahoma and Texas, and this turned out to be a really good game. Texas obviously surprised everybody. I thought Texas was going to get blown out by at least two touchdowns, but they came to play, and you know, all these jokes about Tom Herman. You know, he's been a running joke for a lot of the media, because there were certain people who loved Charlie Strong, and things didn't work out under Charlie, and you know, and Sean Watson was on Strong staff when Texas fell apart. But Texas was a dumpster fire to begin with, and to what Tom Herman's done so far ever since losing to Maryland, it's been really good. I mean, they're knocking off some decent teams, and Oklahoma, I guess, was a favorite for the Big 12 title, but doesn't look like it now, because you got Texas there, and then you got West Virginia. I mean, you got those three. This works out for West Virginia because they get to see the vulnerabilities in the both of those teams, and so for West Virginia, this game kind of helps. It's a scouting thing for them to, you know, see where these guys are vulnerable. And you know, if we're going back to the, you know, Penn State and West Virginia being in the top 10, well, they're there because they have solid foundations laid out for them. And I'm not just talking Dana, I'm talking, you know, for West Virginia, Don Nealon laid the foundation for, you know, for West Virginia football. And it's been carried on. I mean, when he left, Rich Rodriguez picked up where he left off. I mean, he had a 3-8 season his first year, but he won a whole bunch after that. Bill Stewart kept it going somewhat. I mean, they won. I mean, they went to bowl games, but they weren't really the team that they were under Rich Rod. But to Stewart's credit, he had a hell of a staff that recruited like hell, and they had some really good players. So when Dana took over, they left them some good players. And of course, Dana had to rebuild things because they were going to the Big 12, and they had to pretty much be acclimated to the Big 12 as far as their talent goes. And I think they're going to remain competitive in the Big 12. They may compete for a conference title here and there, like this year. But and I think they'll have some down years, but I think he'll keep them above water. But if I'm a West Virginia fan, I wouldn't really expect more, because the league is run by Texas and Oklahoma. So just take your seat at the dinner table and eat, because you're not getting anything more than what you're getting. Penn State, obviously, the foundation was laid by Paterno, and plenty of, to be said there. But as a lot of people said, the program needed a change, and Joe stayed for... The reason why Penn State fell off towards the end of, during Paterno's time, and even when Bill O'Brien and James Franklin era, is because, Paterno and his staff stayed for too long, and they were outdated. And bringing in Bill O'Brien and Franklin, Penn State football was modernized a little bit. And there you go. The foundation was there. It just needed some updates. And getting the dinosaurs out of there was probably the biggest thing for Penn State. Because they were pretty much, that's pretty much what they were. I mean, not so much dinosaurs, but more like fossils anymore. And, Joe should have been gone after the Orange Bowl in 2005. That's when he should have exited. But he wanted to keep coaching. And I think he wanted to coach until he died. Because we saw what happened with the coach from Alabama. His name's escapes me now. But as soon as he retired from Bama, he died a few months later. And Joe would go to the same fate. Of course, Joe had cancer, and it was treatable, but the problem is I guess as we saw in the movie, he, with his injury, I guess he obviously had an injury a few weeks back, and plus he had pneumonia, and it really wasn't treatable at that point. They couldn't do anything for him, because of his age, too. But looking back at this whole week, I mean, one of the big games was Florida LSU, and LSU is kind of a fool's gold type of thing, and I'm surprised they were top five and Florida knocked them off. Texas Oklahoma was exciting, and the guy from Texas is going to be a legend now for that kick he made, and he was a true freshman. And what was great about that was Tom Herman mentioned that. The snapper was a freshman, the holder was a freshman, and the kicker was a freshman. I mean, can you imagine that happening at Pitt right now? I mean, we'd be on Prozac with all that stuff being missed. Mississippi State knocked off Auburn, who was ranked number 8. So, big win for Joe Moorhead and Luke Getsy. And I don't know what's going on with Auburn. I mean, I'm not sure what it is. They have talent, but they just keep losing these odd games. Central Florida, knocked off SMU, so Pitt has that going for them. Stanford got the snot knocked out of them, which to me was kind of odd. Iowa State knocked off Oklahoma State 48-42, which is a huge win for them. We'll get to some of the ACC games. Northwestern, they always give Michigan State a hard time. They won that one. I thought Michigan State was going to win it, but it is what it is. Yeah, Stanford beat the crap out. Stanford got the crap beat out by Utah, which is odd. Oh, well. Washington, 10th ranked, knocked off UCLA, so they'll probably move up in the polls. Pac-12 never really gets much respect. It's because they're not, outside USC, there really hasn't been anybody that's, been all that threatening. But let's get to the ACC and around it. Georgia Tech beat the crap out of Louisville. And I didn't realize how bad Louisville was until I figured Tech would win this game. But they just beat the crap out of Louisville. I mean, they had 500 yards rushing, I think is what it was. Total. Over 500. Clemson didn't lose a beat after nearly losing to Syracuse. Clemson beats Wake by 60. So Wake is obviously having their troubles this season. Florida State, Miami. Florida State led the whole game. Then Miami decides, you know, they need to switch quarterbacks because, like, you know, the quarterback they have, we all know about him very well. He sucks. And Miami's only going to get so far as their quarterback will allow them to go. They make the change of quarterback, and the rest was history. They came all the way back to beat Florida State 28-27. Which kind of sucks for Wade Taggart, because if he wins that game, he, you know, the heat is taken off of him a good bit. You know, if Mark Richt would have lost this game, there'd been a lot of heat put on him after that. NC State beats Boston College 28-23. NC State's looking good. And that Clemson game, that's going to be a key one for them. So, I mean, that, Atlantic may come down to NC State and Clemson. So, they all have that going for them. Now, as far as the rest of the weekend goes, the Steelers, sorry, I'm drinking my coffee. The Steelers had a nice win over Atlanta, beat them pretty big. And I'm shocked how far Atlanta's fallen. They pretty much peaked at the Super Bowl, they peaked at halftime at the Super Bowl, and it's been downhill from ever since. You know, Matt Ryan hasn't really been the same. Actually, the whole team hasn't been the same, and you know, Julio Jones held up for more money, and obviously it didn't work out for him. I understand why he did, because that team's really nothing without him. And Matt Ryan, obviously, is not the same quarterback as he's been, and it's just, you know, with him, like him and Roethlisberger, you know, Ben wasn't all that perfect either, but they're getting old, and they might have some years. They may be running out of time here. You know, for some quarterbacks, it's hard to keep up. I mean, somehow Brady's been able to do it, but these guys are a little more beat up. I mean, in Ben's case, Ben loved to move around the pocket, loved to scramble. He would take a lot of hits. Obviously, it's probably catch up to him. And plus, he's a big guy as well. So, I mean, those knees can only hold up for so long. I know he lost weight. It's, you know, it's a lot of things. I mean, Matt Ryan's been with Atlanta since, I think, 2006, maybe 2007. It was around the time when Michael Vick was gone. So if you think about it, Ryan really should be aging that bad. I mean, he's younger than Ben. He shouldn't be falling apart this early. But Buffalo held on for a win. Cleveland won another game. You know, the Texans Cowboys game last night was horrible. I mean, it was a combination of two teams trying to outdumb each other. I don't know, guys, but James Conner had a huge game. I guess Atlanta. He over 100 yards rushing and almost 100 yards receiving as well. I mean, he's like a lot of people say, he looks a lot better than he did in college. He looks a lot quicker. And there's some people that say that he's not the future guy like Le'Veon Bell. Which, you know, I mean, I'm sure that's fine if he's not. But he's a hell of a football player, and I guess he showed it there. And I don't think he's as bad as people say he is. He may not have the career that, you know, like LeSean McCoy had, but I think he's going to have a decent, you know, some of a career. I mean, if Dion Lewis can get himself a $20 million deal, I'm sure, you know, Connor will too. But anyways, guys, I'm running out of stuff to say. Hell in a pit. You guys have a good week and enjoy it.